And now, the time fight fans all across the globe have been waiting for. It's the main card with your man, The Voice. It's Smoke O'Clock. Smoke O'Clock is anytime we come on. And my man, my mano y mano, my verbal sparring partner, the man in the opposite corner, got all the smoke. I got all the smoke. Everybody mad at everybody. It's going to be the best show ever. What's going on, bro?
Oh, you and the producer, man. It's Smoke O'Clock, man. Welcome to the main card. It's your man, Wildress. I'm here with the man, the myth, the legend, the man who is right now a thorn in my behind, but I'm always happy to be next to my verbal sparring partner, The Voice. How you doing, boss?
Oh, man, I'm fighting a good fight, and it is well.
That's awesome, man. We got a great show ahead for y'all. Pardon me. I'm overwhelmed. We got a great show ahead for y'all, man. But let's go ahead and get into this, Voice. KOs and low blows, let's go.
Well, let's go.
Now, Voice, UFC 300 was everything that we hoped it would be and a little bit more. As a matter of fact, I feel like we got a legendary moment during that BMF title match when Max Holloway and Justin Gaethje got in the middle of that ring and Max said, listen, stand here. They went toe-to-toe. Max came out on top, but shout out to Justin Gaethje for standing tall and giving us a memorable moment. Voice, what were your thoughts when that moment happened?
Man, I was sitting watching everything, and Max has done this before, where he's pointed to the center of the octagon and said, let's go, last 10 seconds, let's get it done. And when Gaethje dropped, and they called the fight with 1 second, I jumped up, screamed, was pumping my fist. I was running around in circles. People were looking at me crazy, but it didn't matter because that was one of the greatest moments in fight sports history. That's going to go down in history. You may not necessarily remember where you were when it happened, but you're going to remember when it happened. Oh, man, I was just overjoyed. I sent out a picture. Shout out to Ian Pomfrey. We interviewed him some years back here on the main card, and he was showing his jiu-jitsu gym, 10th Planet, there in Indiana, and they were going crazy. I shot it back out again. I was like, this is what everybody looked like when Max hit him with and just slumped him, slid him, folded him. You put the adjective in there. That's what he did to him. Oh, my goodness. It was absolutely amazing. I am still living off of that moment days later.
And it was a major highlight on a stacked card. It was all over Twitter. And it wasn't the only fight that actually hit, the only championship fight technically that you could say happened. Because Alex Pereira and Jamal Hill, they also put on a show after coming in. Voice, what were your thoughts on that bout also with Pereira retaining?
I'll share that in just a moment. Let me say one last thing about the Gaethje Holloway fight. Mm-hmm. That fight has helped to elevate the BMF title to a different level. Fight fans, hear me out. I believe that now the BMF title is the most prestigious title that the UFC has. And this is why. Whenever there's a BMF title fight, you know that both people are going to absolutely bring it. Now, the other fights with Diaz and with Masvidal, you know, they went at it. It ended a little anticlimactic. When Gaethje fought Poirier for it, absolute fireworks. This one, absolute fireworks. The bar has been raised. And you know when the BMF title is on the line, this is the kind of fight that you're going to get. You're going to get the kind of fight that you always wanted to see. Everybody just laying it out, going out on their shield if they have to, give it everything. That's why this is the most prestigious title in the UFC. Now, go ahead.
Those are major words, Voice. Okay, so this is the most prestigious title. Is there anything that you would add or change as to how the title is put up or when it's put up? Or would you continue to have it sparingly as it's done now?
I would continue to have it done sparingly. I would say possibly have it done, you know, once a year and do it the way that they were doing it initially. It was like one of one. So whoever's a champion is a champion and that's it. Whoever wins, you got that belt. Regardless of if you fight for another belt or not, you're still the BMF champion, just like Masvidal was. And then an opportunity comes along, you want to put the BMF title up for grabs, you can do that. Because the beautiful thing about this is, even if you lose the BMF title, you're still a BMF champion.
I like that. That's amazing. That's definitely amazing. I want to get more into what's next for both Holloway and Gaethje, but I want to ask you about this Pereira versus Hill bout. Pereira, I mean, he maintained it. Jamal Hill did what he could do. What do you take from this fight? And what, I mean, how do we do what's next, considering the fact that a lot of people came into this fight saying Hill was still the champion, but Pereira retained? What do we make of this?
I make it that those who were saying that were fans of Jamal Hill and or maybe his friends, family, and training partners, because he was not the champion. Did he lose the championship? No, he did not. He did abdicate, just as Jiří abdicated. But nobody was saying that Jiří was still the champion. The title moved on. What I think is, it was absolute drama the whole time. I love how Hill, when the arrow was shot in, act like he caught it, broke it over his leg, was like, come on, no, come on, let's fight. And Potato was like, okay, we're going to fight. It was so gangster. It was so gangster. It was so gangster. After he got kicked in the cup, he was like, no, Herb, stay right there. Moop! Just... oh my goodness. Ending the fight that way was just absolutely bananas. What's next for Poatan? He wants to fight at UFC 301. And that's what everyone wants to see. We thought that this fight was going to be the headliner at UFC 301. He's also talking about heavyweight. Dana was like, hold on, pump the brakes. Let's not go that far. But I like that idea for 301. Don't cut weight. Get some heavyweight in there. Do it like Anderson Silva did when he fought at 205 to do some counter programming against, I want to say it was Strikeforce. UFC did that back in the day. Had a show on Spike to counter program Strikeforce. Do that for Pereira. Let him fight at heavyweight. Just get a random heavyweight out there. Chase Sherman will be perfect because he's great in last minute fights. And let him try his hand at heavyweight. Won't hurt anything. It definitely add intrigue to that fight card. That's for sure. As far as Hill goes, he goes back to rehab. He hurt his foot 2 weeks out into the fight. So he goes and gets right and starts over.
Well, I mean, UFC 300 lived up to a lot of the top billing that everyone had for it. So at the end of the day, with this bout now behind us, many people are calling for multiple title fights in UFC 301. What should we expect next? Are there any big fights that you're hoping to see that we haven't heard about yet? Or is there anything that's already maybe on the billing that hasn't been announced as of yet?
As far as 301 is concerned, that card, it's pretty much done. The only thing that I could see happening possibly is, like I said, them doing something with Pereira because he wants to do it. And it does lack some star power. Outside of that, it's set. We know UFC 302 is going crazy on the timelines right now because Dustin Poirier is fighting Islam Makhachev on that fight card. So, that's trending right now, and it should be because that's a phenomenal fight to have. You got a number of things coming up, including Conor McGregor and Michael Chandler finally being made for International Fight Week, June 29th in Vegas. So there are a lot of fights coming up in MMA as well as boxing that you definitely want to check out.
Definitely. Yeah, I just saw the weigh-in for Deontay Wilder. I believe he's fighting I can't remember who he's fighting. I just saw recently because they were highlighting his haircut. But he just had a standoff with someone recently. Do you know exactly who he's going to be fighting and what's next for him?
I did hear about that fight. You know, he's talking about, you know, recently, hey, you know, I'm going to fight Joshua, but that's not happening. Who he is scheduled to fight is Zhili Zhang. And I think that's a good fight for him. Hey, we love you two times, man. Thank you so much for all the love and for being, you know, a day one. Yeah, he's supposed to fight Zhili Zhang next. And I think that's a good fight for him because Zhang has power, but Zhang does not do a lot. So he's very measured, which is the reason why he lost in his last fight. He just didn't do enough. When he did something, it was big, but he didn't do enough. So it's a perfect opponent for Deontay. Gives him a chance to get his feet back under him.
Awesome. Well, that's UFC 300. Definitely looking forward to more. Make sure y'all following Voice on Twitter for any kind of breaking news. We'll definitely have anything that you're looking for. And let us know in the comments what you want to hear about as far as in combat sports. Any bouts that you want to see, any fighters you want to hear about, you already know Voice is going to take care of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, well, actually, producer, I'll take care of this myself. We talked about Timeless. You know, that's the dude. And we encourage you, drop your comments as well. We want to know what you want to talk about. And you're right, Timeless. I am not a big fan of WWE. I'm not a fan at all. did I watch any WrestleMania? No, I did not. However, we have, you know, did some shifting and some changes here on the main card, and we talked some wrestling. We talked some pro wrestling now, and there are some things about the WWE that I am interested in. Now, granted, because, you know, I stopped watching around the turn of the century, a lot of it has to do with that, but it's still good drama and it's still good sports entertainment. With that being said, Wildress, I saw on my timeline about Cody Rhodes and this watch. Now, and I know it's an Invicta watch because I got one. I know what the box looks like. Now, my Invicta don't look nothing like his, but I knew it was an Invicta watch. He got all teary-eyed and choked up about it.
Yeah.
What's that backstory?
Well, first of all, it definitely wasn't an Invicta watch. It was a Rolex. So it was a solid gold Rolex. So what happened is...
it looked like an Invicta watch box. I'm going to bring
it. No, so... Triple H, along with Nick Khan and Bruce Pritchard, literally wanted to have this for Cody after the bout when he won. And what it is, it's a solid gold Rolex that Dusty Rhodes previously owned. It was the same exact make and model that Dusty owned. But what happened is after falling on hard times following his retirement, he pawned that watch off to pay for Cody Rhodes' acting school tuition. So it was such a big deal for Cody. Yeah. So it's the entire thing about finishing the story for Cody was the fact that his father never got to hold the title of the undisputed champion title. Now, of course, everyone knows in the 70s, there was a time where Dusty did win the belt, but it was vacated. It depends on who you ask us for various reasons. But for Cody, this was a big deal. And to see that watch, which he felt was literally the beginning, because Cody took acting school classes. This is what literally helped him to be a better performer, to provide better promos while he's performing. No, it's not fake. People still get hurt. But this was a major moment for Cody, and it brought him the tears. And it was a really, really big deal because Bruce Pritchard and Dusty Rhodes were really, really close. So Bruce knows Cody from as a child. So it was a really big deal. It was a major moment, and it literally solidified that WrestleMania 40 for Cody.
Man, I'm looking over to the side to see can I reach to my box of Kleenex that are on the desk? Because I don't know. The allergies is just kind of all up in the air right now and stuff. You know, I don't know if anybody else is dealing with any allergies either, but that's, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole finish the story thing, it did kind of get a little frustrating at some points, but it all came from a real place, not only for Cody, but for Roman, because if you got a chance to watch the documentary, you know, they talked about Roman and how he had, you know, he had been a star, but he hadn't truly arrived because he couldn't be himself. The tribal chief is literally what Roman wanted to be. Roman wanted to be a heel for a while. And one of the things they talk about is his brother who passed, literally telling them like, yo, sometimes you got to be a jerk and you got to take what's yours. So this entire story, which apparently is not over, especially with the bloodline, it resonated with them both because it was from a real place.
Okay, that's a perfect segue, because I also saw on my timeline, salute to Rick Sincere, some things about Tama Tonga and joining the bloodline. I also saw on my timeline that SmackDown had 2.63 million people watching, like the biggest SmackDown ever. Talk to us about what Tama Tonga brings to the bloodline story.
Man, Tama Tonga coming to WWE overall is a huge deal. First off, let's just put it out there. If you love Haku from back in the day, you're going to love Tama Tonga. That's his nephew, but also his adopted son. He actually adopted him. The Samoan dynasty family is huge. Tama Tonga, if you do not know, is huge over in New Japan Pro Wrestling. He's somebody that the WWE has wanted for years. And ironically, he has a major backstory with what you can say AJ Styles, mm-hmm. Finn Balor, and Cody Rhodes, because they were all a part of the Bullet Club, yeah. Over in New Japan Pro Wrestling. So this was a big deal. People knew that eventually he was coming. They just didn't know when. When his deal was up with New Japan, everybody was like, oh, is he coming? Is he coming? Because there's also Jacob Fatu who's out there, which if you have not seen the video on Jacob Fatu, prepare yourself, because this bloodline story is going to go crazy. From the way it's looking now, it almost seems as though Solo Sikoa is taking over the bloodline as the tribal chief. And if you're a fan, if you go back and you watch, there's a segment where Roman says, if something were to happen to me, Solo is next in line. Friday, we may have saw the beginnings of what may be a bloodline civil war, and I am all here for it.
Man, you said I might get back into it. I guess you should never say never. Right now, it's not right now, but that sounds real interesting. I definitely will be an interested observer from afar.
Most fans will tell you right now, Voice, this is the perfect time to get back into it. The Triple H era is live and direct. You can see everything from the production to the storylines. Monday night's main event was Sami Zayn versus Chad Gable. And if you get a chance to watch Sami's entrance, he was performing in Montreal. Watching his entrance of him going in with the fans and then going into the arena to perform and seeing them lose it and seeing how they all are. And now the current storyline we have now with Chad Gable, who, you know, while Sami was hugging his wife, Chad gave that man a German suplex and was like, let him go, beloved. So it's a lot of really big things going on in WWE. Professional wrestling right now is really fun, and it's really great to see a lot of stories happen. Of course, Rhea Ripley, another top story. She's going to be out for the next few months. So if you're a fan of women's pro wrestling, now you also get to see what's going to happen with that WWE Women's Championship.
Nice. Well, that's excellent, and an excellent place to take a pause for the cause. When we get back, the time might be now, timeless, but no. Perfect segue. When we get back, it's all about Haney Garcia, talking about the storyline and things being closed out. Yeah, we're definitely getting ready to get into that. It's the main card. Stay tuned.
it's not just about the love of the game. It's about dedication and commitment through the process and the patience to endure. There's joy in reaching your goals and peace in knowing you've done all you're supposed to do. Ozell Brand. It's not just a brand, it's a lifestyle.
Awesome, awesome, man. Shout out to the sponsor. Get your Ozells done. Get your cleats in. Get your voice Leroy's in that in that blue, in that black, because you already know that that's what it is.
Yeah, for the now, Battlehawks, baby. Caw-caw!
Yeah, don't do that no more.
Yeah, my son stopped doing that too. He says I embarrass him every time I say that.
Embarrassing is one thing. Bizarre is another thing. And voice, I think that's what we're getting with Haney versus Garcia. I know you like that one. Now, yeah. Haney versus Garcia may be one of the most bizarre fight lead-ups that we have seen in a while, voice. And we cover UFC. So from Ryan's erratic behavior to the fight almost being called off, even to their Empire State Building showdown, which saw Haney shove Ryan in what he called a hate crime. These two, with an expanded history, voice, they're finally going to meet head-to-head in the ring when the Dream is going to defend his undefeated record and his WBC super lightweight title against the 24-1 King Ryan. And about that literally could have major ramifications for the winner and the loser, depending on who you ask. Now, Haney is the favorite. He comes in after having put on a master's class against Regis Progras, where he moved up in weight to become a two-weight world champion at only 25. Now, meanwhile, Ryan, who is also considered a social media star, is looking to kind of have his defining win. Since his KO loss to Tank in 2023, Ryan's kind of had a lot going on, whether it be going at it with Oscar De La Hoya in the media, fights off and on, arguing with Bill Haney. A lot has been happening, but voice, the bout has questions about everything from mental health to ticket sales, and it's been a circus. With all this going on, what should we really be expecting from these two in the ring?
You should expect a really good fight from both of them, because regardless of all the extracurricular activities that are going on, these two men have fought each other on 6 different occasions. Now, granted, it was in the amateurs, different skill set needed, and a different rule set. But they still have been in there. They still have intimate knowledge. I mean, 6 fights? Oh, and they were split down the middle? So, 3 times Ryan won, 3 times Haney won. Who knows the other one better? Who's going to do better? Now, I believe that Haney won the last time that they fought. But does that mean that he's going to win this time? Does Garcia know enough about his tricks and trades, and now that he can do some different things with a different rule set, will he be victorious? How much has the outside of the ring shenanigans really impacted him? Or was this all a ruse, as some people have said that it was? Those things we don't know. One thing we do know is that Haney is mad for real. He's pushed. Hey, he might have been, and you don't know. He might have some of that mezcal on the way to the ring. Who knows?
Wow.
Wow.
$50,000 watch.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Well, you can do that when you're getting ready to probably make another at least 8 figures. You know, you can afford to give away a $50,000 watch. But it's going to be interesting because, again, we don't know how much it was a ruse, how much of this has been real. Haney is upset for real. When he pushed Garcia, I was thinking, he did that with Loma, too. He's just trying to sell the fight. I don't think so, though, because I watched it, you know, a number of times. First time I watched it, I was like, okay, this is just this. But he was really mad. And I get it. You can't call a man out his name but so many times, especially using certain words that are used in the street that are fighting words. You can't just keep calling somebody that. how is that going to impact Haney? Haney is already mad because Garcia has disrespected Islam. He's disrespected his father. He's disrespected him. He's disrespected the game. As his father said, look, I'm training him to come in there and kill him. Now, Bill is great with using words. He's a great mouthpiece, and which is something you don't normally see in boxing. That's something more that you see in the WWE, but it's really needed in all forms of combat sports. You like how I said combat sports? Yeah, it's really needed in all combat sports for those who don't do a lot of talking to get people hype about the event. So, and that is definitely what he is, being Haney. Bill Haney for Devin. You know, he's like, I'm training my son to come in there and kill. Especially in boxing, because you don't play boxing. And in boxing, on average, 8 people die a year. Those are some strong words to say. And prayerfully, that's not what happens. But is he training him to go in there and beat beat everything that he can out of him? That I do believe. Can Garcia counter that, though? Because he got that power. That's one thing you cannot deny about Ryan Garcia, is that he can crack. Now you're not being weight drained. Now you're fighting at 140, which you probably should have been fighting at for a while. There's no rehydration clause. There are so many different little storylines that are going on with this that will be answered. It should be a phenomenal evening.
I mean, most people are not really giving Ryan a chance.
Which, understandably, you know, so.
Understandably so. But what does a win or loss do for either one of these men here? Like, how big of a moment would it be if Ryan got the upset? Or is it just business as usual if Haney gets the win?
I want to say it's business as usual if Haney wins, but that's not true because of the cachet that Ryan has. He's now being seen by more people. This fight will be viewed by more people. Both of their bank accounts, win or loss, are going to change substantially. Like, this could be a generational money that they're making. I don't know. It just depends on how they invested. So from that perspective, they're both winners. For Devin, winning, I think, helps with elevating him as a champion and as being what his father says that he is, which is the face of boxing. Because he's not really the face of boxing currently, but could this make him the face of boxing? Absolutely. If Ryan were to win, oh my goodness, this does everything for him. Can't call him a YouTube and a social media fighter anymore because he has a championship. And not only does he have a championship, he has a championship against someone who many people believe is the best doing it at this time. And if not the best, at least one of the 3 best doing it at this time. So a win for each of them is huge. But it's bigger for Ryan than it is for Devin.
Okay. So now we know all that. On the other side of this, for Ryan Garcia, you know, he's had the loss of Tank. Most people don't take him seriously. If he loses voice, is this basically kind of the end of his boxing career? Or do you still see him getting shots at perennial fighters that literally should be taken seriously?
It's the end of his boxing career as a mainstream boxer. And what I mean by that is you have 2 different types of boxing that are taking place right now. You have crossover fights and you have mainstream boxing. This would be it for him mainstream, but crossover, he can still do that. As a matter of fact, that's really where he belongs, is fighting on some of these misfits cards. The fight that more than likely will be made and will do gangbusters is him versus Rolly if he were to lose. So he still has the ability to fight professionally, to make a way for himself and for his family professionally. It's just in a different vein. And you know, kudos to him and kudos to Jake Paul and Misfits, because they're definitely opening a lane for this kind of fighting, and there's an appetite for it. So, hey, do it is what I say.
And shout out to both Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia as they prepare for this bout. Definitely interested to see in how that plays out, especially because I saw a couple times people were calling for him to go ahead and fight Jake Paul, which, of course, we know, you know, I see the look on your face. You got something you want to say about that
one? No, that just doesn't make good nonsense at all. I mean, let me not say that. He's fighting Mike Tyson, so they could do an exhibition of that nature. Yeah, and people will pay. So
there you go. It's all about the money, making the big dollars. Shout out to Don King. Now, it's an awesome week of fights. The Haney Garcia bout is literally the turkey to your Thanksgiving of bouts this weekend. Voice, give us your final fights that we should actually be taking a look at also this weekend.
As you stated, Haney Garcia is the main course. But, you know, more like, you know, like a 5-course meal at, you know, a fine dining establishment. There's another course that will be taking place the day before, being PFL 3 in Chicago at Wintrust. I was going to go there and cover it live. I've got some family obligations that I can't. My son is sick, and even if he weren't sick, there were some other things that they were supposed to do, and I had to do it, so I couldn't go. But my man, Zane Bando, he is on site. He said he's going to give me some information regarding that, so be on the lookout for some more in-depth coverage of PFL 3 in the Windy City at Wintrust Arena. At the top of the card, you see the flyer right now. At the top of the card, you have Andrei Koreshkov taking on Magomed Umlatov, the co-main. And you really can't say co-main, but the fight before, the penultimate fight, is Brennan Lochner versus Pedro Carvalho. That should be a really, really good fight. Lochner has made a name for himself, I believe. Won the PFL tournament last year. So that's going to be, you know, a good, interesting fight. Although Lochner, as you see, is a heavy, heavy favorite right now. And Umlatov is a slight favorite. The reason that first fight, or I should say the main event or the last fight, is so interesting is that Andrei Koreshkov is a Bellator champion, like I want to say multiple times over, but I know he's held the Bellator welterweight championship at least once. And he has been through, you know, everybody. I mean, he defeated Benson Henderson. You know, he's fought Douglas Lima. He's fought real people. Umlatov is undefeated, though. However, and it's not his fault, he really hasn't fought anybody. Mm-hmm. Every time that there's someone that he's supposed to fight, something happens and he doesn't get to fight them. You know, he's been scheduled to fight, I want to say, you know, people like Rory McDonald, and that didn't happen. And he's been scheduled to fight other big people, and then either something happens to his opponent or something happens to him where it doesn't take place. He was in the playoffs last season because he's undefeated. You know how he was doing things, but he could not continue to compete because of injury. Now you're facing somebody for real, somebody who is battle tested, who's looking to make a name for himself because he's coming into the PFL from Bellator. And regardless of what number fight card it is, that first fight over in Saudi Arabia, that spirit still hovers over this PFL season. Anytime you got Bellator and PFL, it's like, oh, got Bellator and PFL. Lochner Carvalho, that's Bellator PFL, and you want to see who's going to do what. So that's going to be really interesting, because we'll get a chance to see really who Umlatov is, and or whether Koreshkov still has gas in the tank. Now, the first fight on the main card pits Bubba Badman Jenkins. And we've talked about him before on the main card because he is the tongue-talking, holy-rolling, Bible-thumping thumper. He'll thump the Bible and thump you, you know, because he got them hands and he got them skills. So, help me, Lord. Bubba Badman Jenkins, say that three times fast, is taking on Kai Kamaka. This is so interesting because Bubba has really made a name for himself in the PFL, but he comes from Bellator. You know, he was fighting in Bellator back in, you know, the 2010, 2013 time frame. Kai Kamaka made a name for himself in Bellator, took his star to a different level by fighting in the UFC and not doing really well. He was like 1-2-1. Coming back from the UFC to Bellator and now entering into PFL. So again, Bellator, PFL going at it, even though they both have Bellator ties, it's going to be an interesting fight. And I think it was a great fight for them to choose, opening things up as you have featherweights and welterweights competing at PFL 3.
Wow, sounds amazing. PFL 3 is going to be awesome. It's going to be an amazing, amazing weekend of combat sports. Thank you to The Voice for getting us prepared. Make sure you are following him on X or Twitter, wherever you call it, so that you can get all the spicy talk, get all your updates, and Haney Garcia is going to be the talk of social media. MTMV Sports, we are the fans. We are you. We just love to be able to bring you everything that you need in preparing you for your favorite sports events coming up, whether that be basketball, football, boxing, anything you need. We got you. Voice, thank you so much today for preparing us, for getting us out there. Shout out to the producer. Producer, I owe you one, and it's coming. make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Follow.
Wow. I'm surprised that he didn't do
it. He did it on purpose. I know he did.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised he didn't do this. Or.
Y'all, let me tell you something. What we do behind the scenes to get y'all prepared for this show, the stories alone should probably be filmed, because today was a mess. But it's all good because we were still here. Like voice just said, smoking clock is anytime we show up, because apparently that's we can't show up at 7:15 on time, thanks to our producer. As I said, make sure that y'all like, share, subscribe. Follow us on your favorite podcast network that you like to follow. Make sure that you go to YouTube. Share this video with your friends. Share with people you don't like. Maybe they like combat sports and they want to fight you.
They want the smoke too. So
help them prepare for the smoke.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome show. Voice, take us out, boss.
Hey, until next time, fight the good fight.